Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that. We
need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
¿Qué onda, familia? If you're looking for a fun, feel-good listening experience,
check out our podcast, Hanging with Los Otelos.
My name is your boy Edgar, and this is my beautiful wife, Janet.
Hi, guys. We're a bilingual Mexican-American married couple with two beautiful young daughters.
We're ready to fully expose our life, discuss relationship drama, yours and ours, and fill you with faith, encouragement, and laughter.
Se va a poner bueno, so come hang out with us.
Listen to Hanging with Los Otelos on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For more info, visit losotelos.com.
Mama, Dad, I love it.
Open your hearts and loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy. Couples Therapy.
Everyone, welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
And we are a real-life couple, a real-life couple of comedians. And on the show, we take the best sets from our live show, Couples Therapy, and bring them to your ears. But sometimes we have people that we like in studio to answer advice questions. And guess what, Naomi?
This is one of them times.
You are 100% correct, and you win. A deer. A fake deer. You win. a fake deer target.
I thought you were going to tell me a John Deere lawnmower.
No, you win a fake deer target for bow and arrow practice. Naomi, who is our wonderful guest on today's episode?
Oh, well, you guys, you are in for a real treat. We have a wonderful time talking to Rob Hubel. He is an actor, improviser, and writer. You know from shows like Human Giant, Children's Hospital, his YouTube Red series, Do You Want to See a Dead Body? Transparent. Soon, you can see Rob in the Children's Hospital spinoff, Medical Police, which debuts on Netflix in January. And you know what? We just had a real good time talking to him. This is my first time really talking to Rob.
Yeah.
Getting into it.
I said to him, like, I only known him through his characters.
Yeah.
And also, like, when you start at UCB, there's also this lore.
Of course.
There's the, like, the myths of all the people that came before you.
He was a cool senior when we were freshmen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, in one of the cool, Respecto Montalban,
yes.
In one of the cool groups. So there's this also, like, knee-jerk kind of, like, you're like a Zeus. Couldn't have been nicer.
lovely, and he really came. He came to help, too. Yeah. He really came to help with people with their issues, which I thought was wonderful.
And not to, you know, I know that there's a kind of a PR purpose to this, but I have to genuinely say I'm very excited for medical. Was it medical police?
Yes.
I medical love police. Children's Hospital so much. So I genuinely cannot wait for this, and I'm very excited. Speaking of PR things, Naomi.
Oh, tell me, sister.
Tonight.
What?
If you live in Los Angeles, you're in for a treat if you come to the Virgil at 8 p.m. because it is our show. It's the Couples Therapy Show.
Couples Therapy is popping off tonight, and the lineup is sick.
Yeah. Dana Gould and Arden Marine are on the show.
We've got La Culturista himself, Bowen Yang, and Sudie Green together.
Two SNL heads. It's just going to be, effervescent.
It's going to be wonderful.
If I can pick one adjective that I kind of know what it means.
So if you're listening to this pod, you're in LA, and you're like, what am I doing tonight? It's Tuesday. Why don't I have some fun? Stop what you're doing. Get your ticket. Call 10 of your friends and roll up to the Virgil tonight. Show starts at 8, BB.
Yeah. I think the tickets are still on sale up until about 5 p.m. So go on to couplestherapypod.com and see us live. Click on see us live and you can get tickets there. I have a feeling it might sell out, so you might want to get tickets beforehand.
Definitely.
Yeah. What else, Naomi? Don't you have a couple live dates coming up while we're talking about being live?
Well, literally, couple therapies tonight. Tomorrow, I'll get my ass to Minneapolis, you guys. I will be opening for the one, the only, Jonathan Van Ness. Tomorrow night, November 6th, at the State Theater in Minneapolis, there are two shows. Then November 7th, we'll be at the Fillmore in Detroit, also two shows. And November 8th, the Orpheum Theater in Boston, also two shows. So come check out that magical, magical evening. And after that, I will also be opening for the New Negroes. I will be with them November 14th through 18th. We'll be in Portland, Seattle, Santa Cruz, Oakland. Okay, West Coast, we coming through with some black excellence. So you need to come to these shows if you can. I'm going to be all over the place. No excuses, friends.
Yes. Three small plugs left. One of them, we have a Patreon. Two times a month, Naomi and I do special episodes, just us getting in deep about our emotions. if you like our dynamic and you want to hear those episodes, it's only $5 a month, I think, is a small price to pay.
Yes.
For two wonderful hours of entertainment and emotion. also, today is an advice episode. If you would like to call in and ask advice questions yourself, leave a voicemail at this number, 323-524-7839. Finally, we're trying to get off of Facebook as much as possible, and so we started a mailing list. We only send out newsletters, I would say, once in a while, a couple times a year at most. It lets us disseminate some information about where we're going, where we're playing live, what the lineups are, and it also kind of lets us find out where you are and if you want us to come to your town. So if you go to the website, couplestherapypod.com, you should see mailing list. You can click on it and sign up there. I think that's it, Naomi, right?
Oh, yeah, baby. I think they're ready to get into some Rob Hubel.
Well, then without any further ado, roll it.
Rob, how are you doing today? Where are you at emotionally?
Wow. Where's your heart? What's inside?
We're going straight there.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, it's 2 in the afternoon. You've just come here. You've had a little bit of
all right,
a day.
I will tell you. All right, if we're going to go there, I almost started crying about an hour ago. Oof. Because for the first time, I don't want to cry if I tell you about this. We have a three-year-old who's awesome, and it's super fun to, like, watch her discover stuff. And I picked her up from school, and she looked into my eyes and told me what color my eyes were. And then she just kept looking into my eyes, like, very deeply.
Yeah.
And so I just kept – you know how normally adults – like, I'm not comfortable looking at you, right?
Right,
I'll look
at
you for a few seconds, then I'll look away.
Yeah, fully.
So I was like, oh, this is fucking real.
Yeah.
By the way, can I swear on this show?
Of course.
Okay. So I just, like, stared back at her, and she's just, like, looking at me and looking at me, and it was just a nice little moment, and I was like, ooh, I got to clock this for, like, my memory bank.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. That I can't. I make jokes sometimes about, we have pets. We have lots of pets.
Same thing. It's the same thing.
I make jokes about it, but, like,
that's the closest we come to knowing that feeling.
Listen, I'm with you. I was there. I had dogs until – I still have dogs. But then when you have a kid, you know, you got to take better care of your kid, hopefully.
Yeah.
We still throw food in a dog bowl in the corner and have her eat out of that.
Yeah. That's good.
Your child.
Yes.
Yeah, that keeps her humble.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's about growing up, putting a little hair on the chest.
I am not raising an arrogant child. I will not do it.
You can't. Mm-mm. She's already being raised in Los Angeles, so you got to fight against that baseline.
I
got to
keep this child real.
By the way, this is dangerous because we had a very touching moment, and then I immediately, my instinct was make a joke. And then
I do. I that's
as
me.
Everyone yeah, here, here's UCB trained.
Yeah.
Yes, and that, and I'm just like, oh boy, let's not
just run away from any emotion.
You must
any emotion.
That, well, that is me. We're all East Coast people.
Sure.
And
does everyone on the East Coast do that?
This is my theory. I'm from Pennsylvania, and my theory is that Pennsylvanians definitely, from their Germanic presence in the air,
okay,
it's like a airborne emotional repression disease.
Yeah.
And you just tend to like hold it all in. And anytime that you express a real emotion, you have to then somehow undercut it.
Yeah.
Either irony or a joke or something.
Yeah. I think that's pretty common. Yeah. I would I would agree that most humans do that probably.
Okay. So it's not just an East Coast thing.
It's not. I don't think so.
Where'd you grow up?
My wife is from Seattle.
Oh, okay.
And they're very, you know, those people are very cold also. Not cold. I'm not calling my wife cold. But, you know, she'll do the same thing. Like she'll almost say something emotional and then like dial it way back, you know. And she's not a comedy person per se.
Okay.
I grew up on the East Coast also. I grew up in D.C.-ish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in Virginia, mm-hmm. like Northern Virginia. But yeah, I totally relate to that. I was in New York for 10, 11 years. Yeah. So I know how to bury my emotions pretty well.
Did New York open you up at all? Because it did for me, especially like when I moved from not doing comedy stuff to performing. And I'm like, oh, I better, I'm going to be just like this kind of like stolid person on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I better like figure out something with my emotions if I'm going to do this at any level.
Yeah. The whole time I was in New York, I felt like I was really like scrapping and clawing, you know, trying to get on the mm-hmm. radar of, mm-hmm. of anybody. So I don't know that I felt super emotionally open or vulnerable, you know, and I don't certainly don't feel that way in LA. Like, I don't feel like you walk around here like, hello world. Hell, no one can hurt me in LA. Yeah, I think also just being in comedy or just being a performer, I think you tend to be more guarded because you kind of have to put yourself out there all the time when you're working and when you're on stage. So, you know, I think it's natural sometimes you kind of swing back the other way and
yeah.
keep yourself closed up.
I don't know. It's interesting because
I wish I weren't, but
I'm like too. I'm like very open. I think my closed off is like I like to be in the house alone. He likes to have people over and be like, yeah. let's have a hang. Whereas I'm like, this is the quiet place.
I'm from Pennsylvania. That's
what
we do.
Mean? You keep saying everything is because of Pennsylvania, and I
you
don't
just
know
said that
a real
Pennsylvania
thank you?
People
thank you.
Don't want intimacy or
right.
love. You said
you're
you
around
said,
each
you
other.
Said people from Pennsylvania can't. Be loved. That's what you said.
It's, imagine like a group of people with these thick boundaries, these borders, these bubbles up around, a million bubble boys.
Yeah.
Together.
That's a fantasy right
yeah.
there. By the way, that should be a movie.
Hey.
It's just a town full of bubble people.
Yes.
Hey, Hollywood, you listening?
Hey, Hollywood. Write it up, Hollywood.
Write it.
But no, you want to be around each other, but you don't, but that's the, you physically near. But emotionally,
but
distant.
Not sharing anything real. I get that. Yeah, that, yeah, yeah. I would like that. I think, but I know what you're saying, also, Naomi. Like, I sometimes I feel like now we moved to Pasadena, which is very hip.
Yeah.
We moved to Pasadena like a year ago, and it's like very quiet there, and I love it. It's just like I walk the dog at night, and just you don't hear anything. You hear like the weirdo breathing. Sneaking up behind you to murder you, but that's
literally
it.
My true terror. That's been my heart because I'm born and raised in New York, so like I like the bustle and the noise.
Well, that you do feel safer. Yeah, that's like the school of fish theory.
Mm-hmm.
That like if I just stay in this school, no shark can get
yes.
me. I'm gonna stay right in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I do feel safer too. Yeah,
but it's been my adjustment. But I will say, but we were talking about this. Where I'm like, I feel like LA is suburban, but to me, then. If I'm going to do suburbs, I want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me a Pasadena. Give
yeah,
me the
yeah,
tree-lined,
yeah.
leafy street.
Right.
By
yes.
the way.
Like, go all in.
One
yeah.
of the Beastie Boys lives in Pasadena.
Who?
So it is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Guess what? I'm going to blow your mind. I live – wait, should I say this? I live on the street of a famous – I don't want people to come and murder
door.
Me. Now I'm going to get murdered.
One
we
of the
live,
Beatles?
We live on the street. We live on the same street as David Lee Roth from Van Halen.
Whoa.
Who I have never seen. I've never seen him. But when we bought the house, the real estate broker was like, by the way, David Lee Roth lives right over there. And like, it's the, wow, it's the other end of the street, and he lives in a gigantic mansion, and we live in a tiny little like cobbled together house at the, at like the poor end of the street. And, you know, I can just hear it. The only thing, the only reason I'm sure it's his house, because at night I can hear like, yeah, wow, you know, and like, there's some pyrotechnics every now and then.
Every now and then.
Yeah. You see shadow of him like whipping around on a zip line.
He lives the life you think he would live.
Yeah, yes. Fully.
I don't even know that he's there. I did hear that he's not there very often. Someone told me that he – I haven't Googled any of this, so you people listening get on this. But I think he's like done crazy stuff. Like he went to Japan to learn how to be like – a sword fighter, like to study, what? Like, you know, like whatever. Then he became an EMT and was just like going on calls,
no,
like back, huh, here somewhere. Like, can you imagine being in a car accident?
Thank you.
And then fucking David Lee Roth shows up in like scrubs.
You'd be like, oh, I'm dead.
Yeah.
You know,
or this, like, is, oh, a video. This, oh, this is a video.
Oh, yeah. This is the last couple seconds of my life before it blinks out.
This is,
yeah,
what I see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is my, what I've been thinking out here is if you achieve your dreams and you still have decades of your life left and you're like, I don't know if I want to play music or whatever it is, what else do you do?
You got to thrill yourself by becoming an EMT and,
yes,
stuff like that. Yeah, I agree. I think that is what you do. I want to get to that level.
Hello? I keep being like, get my ass that? A food truck. When do I get to the level, ooh, of comfort that I can just start like making elephant ears?
Wow.
You know?
Yes.
Fried, yeah, dough. What's a missing food truck? Like, I guess elephant ears are
year-round, well, in non-fair settings.
Right. Year-round?
Damn it.
Year-round, bitch.
Damn it.
That's what we
you
do.
You got the name already. You better trademark that ASAP.
This is interesting because now, by the way, put interesting if you, if there's someone who is
I'm gonna strike
typing
that
this out.
I'll strike that from the record.
Who's typing this out? Put that in either quotes or italics because it's not really interesting. But my brain moving out here has really screwed me up a little bit because I'm meeting people who I've only known primarily through fiction.
Yeah.
And my brain tends to confuse. Like Michaela, yes, was on a couple weeks ago, and I only had known her through fiction before that, and she plays a lot of like ice queens.
Yeah,
and she's
is
the
not
warmest
that way.
Person.
Yeah, she's, yeah, such,
she's
a sweetheart.
Incredibly kind.
Yeah,
and my there's like this weird tension in my head. It's the same thing with you a little bit because you're not like any of the characters you play.
What am I like? Well, first of all, what kind of characters do you think I play? You can say it.
Kind of jerks.
Jerks.
Like, jerky.
I would say assholes.
Okay, that was like the word I was going to say.
Douchebags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's this weird kind of like conflict in my head as the characters that I know you as,
yeah,
play out against the actual human being you are.
I feel like you're trying to give me a compliment, but I'm not. Now I'm just pulling it out of you.
You seem like a very nice person.
Thank you.
I met you.
That's what I was waiting for.
I met you like once before this for like 2 minutes. So
was I nice or was I dick?
You were nice. Again, that's this thing where it's like,
thank God.
Thank God.
Who are the assholes we met out here? Let's name them.
Name and shame. By the way, that should be a podcast. Yeah, but I know what you're saying because I've met people out here where you even see people sometimes and you're like, wait, sometimes it just fries your brain because you don't know. I do the same thing that people do to me. Sometimes people come up to me in like an airport and they're like, hey, what's up, man? Did we go to high school together? And, you know, it just takes them a second, you know, and I don't want to be like a dick, like, mm-hmm, oh, no, I'm a comedian.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
A, oh, I'm an actor. Right. Perhaps you know me from,
right,
you know. So I go, oh, you know, I don't think we went to high school. So that happens to me a fair amount. And when I first moved out here, this is embarrassing, but when I first moved out here, I was in a restaurant. No big deal. I can afford to go to a restaurant.
Wow. You're thriving.
But could you get a soda? That's the question.
I got a soda. And I saw this guy that I thought I knew from high school. So I was going up to him to introduce myself. And I got like 3 feet away and I realized it was just a guy I'd seen in porn, like a fair amount. And I was like, oh, no, I do not know you. And I just like spun around. And there was like a brief moment of eye contact where he – and then he was like, yeah, yeah. I know.
Yes.
You did it. Yeah, everybody does that. You know, like everybody – you know. But anyway, that was embarrassing. So I don't watch porn anymore.
Right. Also, you can't have those.
That set you straight?
No. Yep. That knocked me – super religious.
I've kept my seed in my body ever since.
I got a backlog of seed because of that night.
Most of my organs are seed.
You guys keep me young, honestly.
It took 3 minutes to get into it. Backlog of seed.
But back to emotions.
It's true though, because I always think it's interesting the little acting I've done, but how I find it's actually interesting because like
interesting in quotes
or no, interesting legit interesting.
Oh, we were gonna strike it. Legit, but we'll allow it.
Add it, please, stenographer. It depends. I noticed the difference between the things I will get either cast in or asked to audition for based on I could tell when someone has seen my stand-up, and then it's kind of in line with that persona versus the sense of like a black woman of a certain age.
Yeah.
And then it'll be very like kind of like, this ain't what I do. I was like, kindly teacher. Oh, you don't know my wheelhouse, baby. And it'll be like that thing, but it's like. But
teacher then, who helps teenagers and like really cares about them? No.
No, absolutely not. You know, but then obviously as that happens, right, when you get this opportunity to play any certain part, and if you do it well, then like more of that comes to you.
Yes.
And so then you're like, okay, well, this I guess will be the thing I do.
Hello. That's, yeah. That's yeah. Why,
you're like,
yeah.
You're like, well, okay, I'll
leave. That's why you think I'm an asshole. Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I think just this job is that.
Yeah.
You know, you get cast as something, and if it does well at all, or if it's like a, you know, if you're lucky and people see it,
yes.
You know, people don't see anything. So if anyone sees it and it like catches a little bit of momentum, then you're going to get more stuff like that if you're lucky. So I don't have any shame in like playing similar part. Yeah. Like I just don't. Yeah. Like I have a house and I want to put my child through school. And
you
like,
buy David Lee Roth, bitch.
I mean, you know, I want to live in David Lee Roth's house. I want to jump on his trampoline.
This went from my passion to a career is when I'm like, yes, I will write literally anything.
Yes.
There is nothing I won't write.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's so much, the worst writing job is a billion times better than the best day job I've ever had.
Yes. So, yeah. So what does that mean? So you end up writing like similar things that have had success before or just not saying no to stuff.
Yep. Not saying no.
In the old days, you'd be like, well, I don't know about that. Oh, it's going? Oh, it's already? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'll be there now.
Yeah.
Getting
like,
in my car.
I like paychecks. Yeah. I mean, like, it's tough. I mean, I've certainly said no. I'm not trying to act like I just say yes to everything, but like, and also you don't, the business has changed where I don't think you get a lot of like offers anymore.
Yeah,
like
everyone
has to audition for everything. You know, like I have a friend that works for like, he's a comedy UCB guy and he works for one of these big production companies. And he told me one time, he was like, dude, fucking show up for those auditions. He's like, there's so many people that are like, I'm offer only. And he's like, but then you just cross those people off the list. Cause it's like, if the writers are there and the directors are there and the producers are there and like, you don't show up, like you're not going to get it, you know, unless you're like Brad Pitt or whatever.
Right.
So I will fucking go out for it. But, yeah, but I've turned down some stuff, like some stuff you just can't do. Like, I don't know if I've told this story on a podcast or not, but, I got offered a part on SVU.
Okay,
which
I'm listening.
I should have brought the script with me.
Were that you Frasier?
That I turned down because it was a rapist. And it was like, you know, I like doing dramatic stuff, you know, some dramatic stuff if it's good, but like I just couldn't see myself doing this. Mm-hmm. And also the show opened with this. He was a college professor. This, I think it's already aired and I wish I knew who got it, and more power to them. They're probably great. But this was a college professor that gets castrated. And so the cold open of the show is they find this guy in a stairwell with his dick cut off and he's bleeding to death. And they're like, oh my God. And you feel so bad for this guy. And they're like trying to figure it out. Oh no, who did this to this guy? You know, as they put the pieces of the puzzle together, the detectives figure out that like, oh, he was a rapist and this was his like, you know, someone, his attacker got revenge on him or whatever. So then when they cut to the like trial or whatever, there was this whole monologue. I think I've done it on stage at UCB because it's so fucking great. But he's like crying and you're supposed to feel like, I think he thinks you're going to feel bad for him. He's like, every time when I look down at where my penis and testicles used to be, I realize that I will never be able to have children again. Your Honor, what has been done to me is a crime. You know, and you're like, I think I kind of fired my manager because of that. Like, they sent it to me. They're like, hey, congratulations, you got this part. You know, and I was like, are you... Yeah. We need to have a conversation
about what, like, you think, yes, I am and what I, yeah, want to be
and
doing.
So I really like am no longer with them, and that's like a small part of it.
Oh, it's like also SVU. You're like, babe, you shouldn't have 47 seasons. You know what I mean? They just start making it wilder and wilder.
Yeah, it's like, I was a little bit bummed at too that whoever in New York was like, who would play this asshole? How about Rob Hubel?
Because it heightened, and it went from jerk to asshole. Yeah, it went from jerk to rapist professor.
To, yeah, terrible.
Just the third beat of it. Yeah.
just the end of the Herald.
Wait, I want to go back to the emotional thing for one second, because I am curious. When did you soften? Was there a point where you softened? Where your heart opened up a little bit?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that that is a constant evolution. I don't know that I'm like, my heart is open today, you know, but like, depending on what's going on in your life, I feel like, you know, there are big events that have, and also now I feel like I'm older now. I'm like 40 years older than you guys. And like, that does change, you know, you do start to like, be like, whoa, I gotta fucking feel some shit, you know, quit dicking around so much. But yeah, like getting married, like I got married 5 years ago. So that was a huge thing that like really does shift your whole, you know, shifts your whole world. Yeah. Having a kid obviously like rocked my whole world.
Were you like, I want to be a dad? Was that something you had already always had on your list, or was it in the process of being a person?
I think I always wanted to do that. Yeah. I've always liked little kids and I had a bunch of, I have a niece and a couple nephews, and like, I like other people's kids So I was like a camp counselor and before they all drown. And then, no. but yeah, so I think I've always liked kids and being around them and stuff. So I was hoping that would work out. Mm-hmm. You know, I was more worried about like, can I be in like a long-term relationship with someone, you know?
Yeah.
But I fucking nailed that, guys. I'm coming up on 5 years.
Coming up on
no
five.
No one has been married longer than me.
Was it all short-termies before that?
Not like super short. I was like the kind of person that would like go out with someone for like 2 years.
Okay.
And then I'd be like, well, what are we doing? What are we doing? You know, like thinking that. And then eventually I think I would realize like, I don't know if this is the person, you know. It's like I would be in love, but or think that I was in love, but like not sure that it would, if that was like the person, you know. When I met my wife,
yes, please tell me is there's a there, because I will say this, you know, we've been together over 2 terms.
I also want to say this podcast is very hard for me to do. it is
oh, no.
this is really hard.
It's okay, we're just
I just don't normally talk. I mean, this is what you guys do, but like, I just normally don't talk that much about like what I'm feeling. Like, I need to do some therapy, I think. And I've done.
That's what this podcast.
And
does.
I will say, we have done some couples therapy, and it's the best. Fucking great.
It's the best.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
we haven't been in a while, but yeah, I'm a big proponent of that. But this is still hard.
Well, I just wanted to go inward a bit because we are going to start answering people's questions.
Yeah.
And I like to know where you're coming from. You know what I mean? When we start to get in there and start telling other people what to do with their lives,
yes,
which is my favorite.
Oh, God. Do people think that we know what we're talking about?
No. I think they just want a sympathetic ear and someone to give them some kind of signpost.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be like our couples therapist, James McGivern.
Shout out to James. We Skype with his ass because he's
from
New York.
You're going
to
name him?
He's great. And
get him some more clients.
We feel like we are indebted to him. And so if we can get him more clients.
I don't know what our time frame is, but can I ask a little bit about your couples therapy? Do you ever feel in your therapy sessions like, oh, yeah, I'm winning? He's on my side today. He bought that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, now he's gonna give it to her. Yeah, give it to her. Give it to her, James. Like, I've had that before where I'm like, yes, yes, woman. Like, ours is a woman, and I'll be like, yes, tell her what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh no, fully. Yeah. I mean, he does it he's very diplomatic about it, but you can tell he'll literally be like, okay, so what Naomi is saying, Andy, if I may, and I'll be like, you may.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, she's saying there's some fear there. And I was like, thank you for getting it.
Yeah,
and it's
that
feeling where I'm like, he totally hears, how has he managed to take all this verbal vomit and find what makes sense?
But I'm sure, and I don't want to diminish what they're doing, but I feel like they probably also just said that to the people in the last session too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think he probably has a little cheat sheet of like, it sounds like there's some trust issues here.
Maybe you need our guy. Cause I feel like he translates white comedy nerd into dynamic black woman.
Wow.
In a very good way.
That's great. I am also in a mixed relationship.
Hello.
By the way, we are the only two couples in LA that are mixed, you guys. Yeah, my wife is half Japanese, so I'm in half of a mixed relationship.
It's a fully mixed relationship.
Three quarters. I'm of a non-mixed relationship.
That's right.
That's right. Rude. You're both rude.
But it is like, it does feel so good. I had a weird thing where when our daughter was born, we were at the hospital. There's a whole long story, but our daughter was like super preemie, like tiny, like as big as this glass of water. And so we were at the hospital forever. And one time I went to the hospital to, to high five her. No, you don't high five a preemie. And this woman was sitting there in the lobby and she was like, hello. And I'm terrible with names and like how I know people, as we discussed. And I was like, who is this woman? Who is this woman? And she wouldn't say how I knew her. And it was our fucking couples therapist. But it took me like a solid minute of small talk. Like, hey, how are you? She's like, I'm great. And I'm like, what are you doing at the hospital? Well, my daughter just had a baby, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, great. What is your daughter's last name? You know, like just fishing.
Yeah.
And finally I was like, oh, this is our couples therapist.
You know what I do? I clean people's driver's licenses for them. If you want to hand me yours, I'll shine it right up.
Yeah. I play a fun game called Let's Rhyme Your First Name. What rhymes with your first name? Yeah, but anyway.
Is it because I live in my head a lot. I've noticed this about a lot of comedy people. They live in their heads. And so like as the world goes past them, they don't absorb it. And I'm definitely like that.
Is that why I'm bad with names?
Yeah. Well, I'm asking.
I don't think that's it. I think I have a very simple theory because when I'm introduced to someone, I am thinking more about how I say my name.
Yep.
And because a lot of times when I say Rob Hubel, it comes out Rob Pubel. And so, but that's just a dumb. So in my head, I get tripped up like, oh, don't fuck up your own name. Like, you know how to say your name. So sometimes I'll think about that or just like, you know, some dumb thing. So I just often don't catch someone's first name.
Yeah.
And then I wish that everyone wore name tags. It would be great.
I wish people reintroduced. I'm a reintroducer.
Oh, me too.
I will do that. And then
you
got to
do that at a party for each other too. I tell my wife.
Yes, it's always like, can you please like get the name?
I'm like, I haven't said their name in 10 seconds. I don't know it. I don't know. So introduce yourself.
Yeah.
So my wife will like fuck with me and just be like, hey, and like not do that. You know?
This is my husband Ra yeah. Pubel.
This is Ra Pubel.
Okay, I feel like I feel closer to you. I feel like I'm like getting you, and now I feel like I'm ready to hear your thoughts on these people's problems.
Okay, great. Yeah.
We're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna be back with Ra Pubel.
Ra Pubel.
To get into it. Hey everyone, it is Naomi, and I wanted to talk about something very important to me: birth control. Did you know over 19 million women in America lack adequate access to birth control? And there are times in my life when I have been one of those women. Hashtag freelance life. Simple Health is a new company that's trying to change all that by offering convenient, affordable birth control. It's really simple, okay? If you want to try Simple Health, fill out an online profile and a licensed doctor will review your info and write you a prescription for the right birth control for you. Whether it's a pill, a patch, or a ring, because sometimes you want to put a ring on it. Then the birth control will ship to you for free. And you can set up a schedule so you never have to miss a pill again. Y'all, this is the story of my life. I'm always realizing like 2 days before, I'm like, I need new pills. And then of course, 2 days is never enough time. When do I get to the pharmacy? Will they mail it to me? It's like a whole production. And with Simple Health, you don't have to worry about that. And the best thing is you can use insurance. And for most insurance, birth control is free. And even if you don't have insurance, pills start at $15 a month. And listeners to Couples Therapy can try Simple Health for free by going to simplehealth.com/therapy or entering code therapy at checkout. Again, you can try Simple Health for free with my code by going to simplehealth.com/therapy or entering code therapy at checkout. Now, even though Simple Health is not a replacement for routine checkups with a doctor, Simple Health gives you access to licensed doctors who can prescribe over 100 trusted brands of birth control. So you know what? You can skip the waiting room, skip the pharmacy lines, and live in a judgment-free zone with Simple Health. Give it a try, boo-boo!
And we're back!
That was the quickest.
Questions. Questions you ask, questions we answer. With an empathetic ear and a full-throated roar of kindness.
Okay. Wow. Full-throated roar of kindness.
All right. This first one, we get voicemails. We get DMs on all of our social media channels. I just wanted to put a gun in my mouth the minute I said the phrase social media channel.
It's okay.
And it's pull the trigger as many times as needed. But here, this first one is a voicemail that we got at our phone number.
Hey, Andy and Naomi. This is Keely from Nashville. I love the podcast so much. I really, 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 really want you guys to come to Nashville. It is wearisome, but it will draw a crowd, I'm sure. You are so delightful. Here's my advice question. So I have a work friend who is so precious and dear to me, basically like a part of my family. I love him. But he gets in trouble at work because he does dumb crap that he shouldn't be doing. And I'm also friends with my boss. And so then my friend complains to me because the boss cracks down on him because he's not doing his stuff. And then it's just like...
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of Couples Therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke. MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked
friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies' sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable?
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy. Okay, soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office, okay? I need my layers, but I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right. And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in heather gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop.
It's just hard to listen and be like, I just want to be like, shit or get off the pot. Do your work or shut up complaining about getting in trouble for not doing your work. So I'm just curious about your thoughts. Yay, come to Nashville. Love the show. Bye.
Okay.
Okay.
Keely. Oh, that's a work question, yeah. First of all. Curveball.
But it's a friendship question.
It is a friendship question. I assume it's the same sex. I couldn't tell. I wish I knew
Keely
the gender.
Said he is always acting stupid.
Did I?
It seems, to be honest, gendered in my mind. I always screwed around at work.
Yeah, me too. I fucked around a lot at work. Like, I just, you know, and I had like a fair amount of office jobs. And when I was first getting going in New York, I would leave. I started out doing a lot of commercials and stuff. So I would just fucking leave my dumb jobs and just go to commercial auditions.
Yeah.
Just leave. I had a lot of doctor's appointments.
Oh, I had a really cool boss at this one place where I worked. I worked at like this cable channel in New York that was like a regional cable. So it was just like New York, New Jersey. It was called the Metro Channel. It was like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut or whatever.
Tri-state area.
I don't know who else. Someone bought it, I'm sure. But my boss was this really nice guy, and he was so cool, and he just thought everything I did was like great. He was like, oh, that's great, you know. But then there was this woman in my office who was also trying to like do acting stuff, and she would just fucking bust me. Like I would go. So I had the green light from my boss to like go on auditions or do it. But, you know, I would go and then I'd go get lunch and come back like 2 hours later. And but I'd always get my stuff done. Like I was producing on the show, like writing and producing on this like very simple, like very basic show. It was not hard. But I would come back and there'd be like, you know, note on my desk, like, please see human resources. And I'd be like, what?
Oh, Lord.
And go, they'd be like, hello, Robert. I'm Glenn from human resources. Barbara tells us that you know. And
we outed her?
Her name was not Barbara. But yeah, I just didn't care. Like, yeah. I'd be like, you know, I would kind of dare them to fire me. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I had a commercial audition. And so you might see me in a Pizza Hut commercial in a couple months. You may not, but I might be. And but yeah, I used to get in trouble a lot just dicking around.
Yeah. Do you like breadsticks? Well, I've got the kind of breadsticks for you.
How
pizza
would you like
breadsticks?
Unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks. I'm talking about the Olive Garden, Glenn.
Keely, I really feel like you got to tell this friend of yours to leave you alone about it. Don't you think, like, because it's kind of like, if you want to act wild and then be like, why did I get in trouble? I'm like, because you was acting wild. This is not a conversation we should be having. Like, it's very one-to-one. It does not require a lot to unpack.
Right. It like sounds, a friend. Do you have those friends who, like, they screw around and then they get angry? Like, they screw around in school and then they get angry at the teacher? Like, if I screwed around in school a lot. I screwed around at work a lot. But if I got in trouble for it, I'm like, oh, that's on me. I worked at NYU for a year and a half or so.
Name dropper.
And I was executive assistant.
Whoa.
In the development department.
Wow. So what you're telling me is you're a development executive? For
not the same as out here in Hollywood. It is fundraising. But I also was going, I went to a lot of quote unquote doctor's appointments for auditions. And just like a lot of like I'd want to do comedy. I was doing that mostly. Yeah. And I got the work done. But when I wasn't doing the work, I once got called in and her assistant kind of like dressed me down.
Yeah.
And then I went into where the elevators were and cried.
Wow.
And I'm
a grown
like, yep.
man? Yeah. Were you a grown man at the time?
What do you call me now?
Yeah, you're a fully grown man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are you going to grow anymore?
No. Emotionally?
No, hopefully. Physically.
Oh, no. It's all shrinking from here.
It's withering.
Yeah. Yeah. Honey, I shrunk
it's
the kids.
Cells dying.
Yes.
So you cried.
So I cried. And I'm just
you
and I'm like,
straightened up.
It was the tears of someone who knew that they fucked up.
I fucked up. Yeah.
But there's the people, and these are the ones that really burn my bottom. The ones who.
Easy on the language.
Who fuck around and then get angry that they get in trouble. It's like, just own it.
Right.
So
I would say to Keely, I mean, if she could kind of be the go-between a little bit. If she wanted to be like extra cool, she could go talk to the boss and be like, hey, why don't you take it easy on Steve? Steve's a cool guy, you know. But it's not really on her to do that. Just if she wanted to be super cool, if it's like Steve's birthday or something. But yeah, in general, Steve, that's not your real name.
Right.
It's probably Dolores.
Steve or Dolores.
Steve or Dolores. I didn't catch the gender of this person. But I think you got to be a grown up.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Why are you putting me in the middle of this?
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to hear this. It's like literally, I just imagine Keely's in the middle of like, you know, like, I don't know, quarterly reports. And she's at a desk.
Ooh,
and
that's
like,
a business term.
Bang, bang, bang.
And have then you ever like, worked in an office?
So many. You know that.
You were just miming typing and it's the worst job.
It was a hunt and peck, but I wasn't even hunting. So just pecking. And then this person comes in and it's just all like, can you believe Dolores Claiborne over here? And then I was never good at improv. Okay, like ever. And so this is like a prime example. But my point being, I feel like this person is like kind of a hot mess. And then we'll just sort of breeze into Keely's office and be all like complaining about this stuff.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, you seem to be making poor choices.
Well, I mean, but let me throw this out to the group. How will she word that to Steve / Dolores? You know, Steve comes in like, okay, let's say it's Monday morning and, oh, hey, come on in. Oh, hey, Steve, how was your weekend? No, it's fine. Can you fucking believe this shit, man? Our boss is coming down on me, man, because I wasn't here on Thursday and I didn't get my work done on Friday.
I left all these cans of piss around.
Yeah, I got jars of my own piss everywhere. I've been smoking.
What's wrong with that?
I've been smoking
work.
Cigarettes at my cube. This is bullshit, man. Like, what is she gonna say to?
Well, okay, Steve.
How do you push him back a little,
Steve? If you really don't like it, meaning you don't like doing the work and you don't like getting in trouble, like, do you want me to help you find another job? Is there someplace else you'd rather be? Like, we can look into something better for you. Because again, she did say this is our dear friend. So it's like she said work friend too.
But
he's like dear to her heart.
So she
like,
also may have gotten him the job.
Ooh. Wow, okay, now that's an extra.
She would have mentioned that.
Yeah, she would have because it would have definitely been like, Steve, how dare you embarrass me?
To me,
you
know? this is like an analogy to if someone is bad mouthing your significant other in some way.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah.
Go on.
Or good friend. We don't even have to have that kind of like emotional attachment. But like you have two friends and they are not getting along and you're the middle person between them.
Yeah.
And how do you get out of
it? Well,
to me, that's
this is exactly that. Your analogy is exactly what the caller said.
Yes. And that
I mean, my question about this
one-to-one analogy.
My
exactly.
question about this dynamic is does it reflect poorly on Keely?
Yeah.
When this guy is fucking up or girl, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, is the boss like, hey, man, I know you guys are friends, but I gotta tell you, Fucking Steve is really dragging me down, you know.
Huh.
So it could be kind of reflecting poorly on her. But yeah, I think in general, I think we're all saying the same thing, that like she just needs to say, look, dude, I don't want to be in the middle of this. If you're not psyched about this work, like, I'd be happy to help you find, you know, look around.
Yeah, but and like, write the fake recommendation.
But like, I can't take heat for you. And I like it here, so I don't want to fuck myself here. So, you know, we're great friends. And I'm just telling you as a friend, like, I don't want this to like rub off on me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I got another analogy.
And then you poison him. You slowly, like you put, you know, antifreeze in his Starbucks.
Yep. But just little trace amounts.
Trace amounts.
Right. And then you slowly increase it.
Yeah.
And then you put the boss's fingerprints on a bottle of antifreeze.
Wow. Okay, it sounds like SVU up in here. Okay, it sounds like a new SVU. Andy, I'm ready for another question.
All right. This is a... We've had this one. I meant to do this last time, but we didn't get to it. So this person wrote us, and they want to be anonymous, but they asked that we come up with a name for them. So I just wrote Gladys Glam Queen. If you guys want to come up with a name.
Gladys Glam Queen?
Glamp Queen.
Glamp Queen.
Glamp Queen. Okay. Gladys Glamp Queen.
Very specific nickname.
But feel free to come up with your own name, Naomi and Rob. Hi, Naomi and Andy. Thanks for being delightful. I have a question for you. My friend is loving and caring, but she is a bossy woman with needs for control and an inability to read the room for social cues. We went on vacation for our birthdays, which are one day apart, and she took over completely, doing only the things she wanted. It's hard for me to speak up for myself if I think there will be a confrontation, but girl, I'm in therapy, so I do. But she will just go behind my back and change plans.
Oh, got it.
My counselor and I are in agreement that I need to talk to her about it because our friendship is important, but I'm too nervous. Is there even advice here? And it ends with, I'm tired now.
Me too, Gladys Glamp Queen. Well, that seems not too complicated, right? I mean, if her therapist is telling her, what are we going to buck her therapist notions? But
is there a way around this? It's a bummer of a problem.
Though. Yeah. It is a bummer. Like when people are not sensitive to what's happening and
have you ever had like a bossy friend or a person like an overbearing, that kind of personality where you're like, all right, if I'm rolling with them, it's going to be about them.
I think I wouldn't be friends with that person for very long. Mm-hmm. Like, I can say that all of my friends are people that I'm actually like, I'm psyched to be friends with.
Wow. Healthy relationship.
But is that unusual? Like, aren't friendships self-selecting? You know what I mean? Like, who's telling her to be friends with this? I mean,
yeah.
I think there are a lot of people who, no, this may not be Gladys, but I'm just saying there are a lot of people who are just like have friendships of convenience.
Sure.
Or friendships of
it's a weird
nostalgic
connection.
Friendships.
Uh-huh.
Like I think like or I call them zombie friendships. You've been friends. You were friends with this person in high school.
Right.
And you just kind of continued even though you don't have anything. You've got grown apart, but you just like go to their house every week and play Call of Duty or whatever still anyway.
This sounds very specific to your life.
Oh, no. I picked so many things that have nothing to do with my life so that
no one would be like, am I your zombie friend? Is this how I find out?
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That's an incredible term and something I hadn't thought of because I don't think I have that. I'm trying to think. Like, just feel like my friendships are more like, oh, that's why I'm friends with you because you're funny and someone that I enjoy spending time with. Like, if someone's a huge bummer or just like controlling everything and making me feel bad about myself, and I don't know that I would be hanging out with them, but.
But I think.
But what do you say to this person?
I know. I think it's. I feel like it is just like a conversation. Because my theory is like, you should give everybody one good combo, like one try, right? Mm-hmm. Because we all come from these different backgrounds. We have different ways. Some people don't have self awareness or don't realize what they're doing is coming off as controlling or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna get you have one good combo where you're like, hey, this is how you're making me feel.
Yeah.
And then you see if it changes. If the person kind of gets it, and then
advice.
If they don't, then you're like, all right, well, I've done my part, right? Like, I just don't think you keep going to someone trying to change them. And
yeah.
I think you try one time. It's like, we all grown.
I like the way you worded that too, though. Like, hey, this is how, when you do this, this is how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Like, that's a perfectly appropriate thing to say to somebody. And if your friend isn't picking up on that, you got to start to question
yeah.
stuff.
You got to get rid of it.
signs, though. What? Because, like, my tendency is if someone criticizes me, I dig in my heels.
Yeah.
And now, yes, I do know that, Henny.
As a full-grown adult who's shrinking, I have started to realize that my first impulse is bad, and maybe, like, let it go in your head, don't say it out loud, and then hold for a moment and be like, oh, no, wait, they're right. Usually this is coming from Naomi and or our therapist. But are there any signs that this – if you have that conversation with someone, if they show any kind of like, oh, I didn't even if they're like digging their heels, I'm trying to like preserve because I'm like putting myself in the place of this bossy person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, the first instinct might be to like dig in your heels and be like, fuck off, get real succession on them. Yeah. And I wonder if they're – I don't want to ruin this friendship. I don't want someone to take our advice and ruin this friendship too.
Yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, is there a sign? Could you see a sign from someone where they might, even if they dig in their heels, you might be like, oh, well, maybe they're listening.
Well, you leave it. I think you leave it for 24 hours, meaning you can – I think everybody has an initial reaction to anything in any given moment where it's like either like, fuck you, and then maybe it's like – then you have some time to think. You take a little walk or whatever. And then you go, oh, you know what? Maybe they was right because, you know.
Well, also people like her friend that she's describing that are like super controlling, I don't think that they are doing that to annoy people. They think that they're helping. Do you know what I mean? Like her friend probably thinks like, oh, well, I just thought it was easier because you don't make those decisions or you seem to be indecisive a little bit. And so I'm just like, it's more efficient for me to do this. If you don't want me to do that, you know, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, I know some people that are like that in my life that like try to micromanage everything and it does drive me crazy, but they think that they are, that's like, oh, well, I was trying to help you, you know? So I don't know that her friend is doing that to be malicious.
Although here's the worrying part to me was Gladys did say something and then
her friend corrected her email.
But she will just go behind my back and change plans.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That was the part where I'm just like, okay, sinister. I'm like, here's the other thing. I think we say this on the show a fair amount, but sometimes your friendship, there's a reason to end a friendship. Sometimes friendships just end.
A reason or a season, baby girl.
Yeah.
It can't all be forever.
Yes. Right. Endship season.
Yeah. God, these are great movie ideas, you guys. Bubble Town and Endship Season. Fuck.
It's like The Purge, but for ending friendships.
Yes.
It's like I'm season. Sold.
Yes, I bought it. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God. That's like amazing.
I'm in development, and I just bought it. The
UTA, are you listening? Get us a meeting.
Yeah. The core of this, though, that we haven't really talked about is how do you get better at conflict? How do you manage that better? How do you sort of step up and embrace that without becoming like whatever, you know, like – I don't know. I feel like for women, that's sometimes harder because people think, oh, she's a bitch or whatever. It's like she's being assertive. Like she's telling you exactly what she wants. But like, you know, if a man does it, it's a different thing. But anyway.
Do you have a problem with voicing your own what you want?
No. I don't think so. Let me think about that. No, I mean, maybe in like dumb, like professional, like I'm trying to think of like you know, bullshit Hollywood shit, you know, like, I mean, like with agents or something like that, you know, you tend to kind of acquiesce a little bit in, I mean, like, oh, well, I hope that you're happy with what I did, you know? So that may be a little less assertive than, but I think even I've shifted over the years. Like at the beginning, you know, I just thought like, oh, I'm so lucky to have an agent or a manager. Mm. And then after a while, you realize like, first of all, they don't do anything. Correct. Second of all.
Correct.
Second of all, I'm just fucking paying a tax.
Thank you.
I'm just paying a – they're just taking – there's a whole other podcast. But anyway.
That I would like to speak to every day.
That's a relationship.
Yeah.
It is a relationship.
The relationship between your manager and your agent and your lawyer or whatever else you have.
Anything. For other people, your cable company, your – you know, all of this is the same. Like any sort of transactional relationship is something – when you're checking into a hotel, like all of these things are just things that you can manage and be more assertive. But – so I'm trying to think of what to tell this person as far as like being maybe not confrontational, but just like standing up for yourself you know, I don't know if there are any tips or anything. I think you just have to be really aware of that. Like when your friend does that, say, oh, no, I had already planned on us to go here. We were going to go to this restaurant or no, we were going to go to this bar or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then stick to it.
And then stick to it.
Even because I can even feel it in my body now whenever I have a confrontation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a charge and there's like a shame. It's shame mixed with – what is that other feeling? Like energize. It energizes you sometimes. Like
Diarrhea.
Yeah. Well, I'm Jewish, so that's just a constant.
But there's so little real conflict face to face, you know, where you – like most of this is going to happen over a text, I feel like, mm-hmm. in the real world. You know, like her friend's going to be like, oh, well, I didn't know that I'm assuming these are dinner plans. These may not be dinner – you know, it could be – they went on a vacation,
yeah,
she said.
Yeah.
But, you know – so maybe it is face-to-face if they're vacationing together. But I don't know.
So
I just think you have to be really aware of it and just take baby steps. And just like little by little, you'll get more comfortable just saying – like here's something that I love doing is saying – throwing something out and then not saying anything after that. You know what I mean? Like just letting silence mm-hmm. be a powerful thing. Like just like – okay, I'm trying to think of a good example, but like, we're going to go to this place for dinner. And just like
I'm literally stressed out. Hey, do you know what I mean? Like you got silent and I was like, what's happening? What do we do?
I think you just have to like get comfortable doing that. Like make it awkward for people.
I thought we were going to go to Night Market.
Okay, yeah, we'll go to Night Market. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't say like, by the way, Night Market is a restaurant that we know about because we live here in LA. But like, you know, you wouldn't say like, I thought we were going to go to Night Market. But if you don't want to go, we don't have to go there. You know, we could always go to wherever you wanted to go. I was kind of thinking about Thai food, but whatever you wanted, you know, like that's what she shouldn't do.
Right. But silence is powerful.
Just fucking say it and then let it hang there.
Yeah. Stand by it.
Oh no, we're going to Night Market.
Yes, we are. Let's do it. Immediately. Oh, the power of silence. I'm definitely one of those. I'm definitely like but whatever you want to do, no worries. Whatever you feel, I mean, I'm here, but I am hungry for a very specific thing.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Like, but I will like literally do
except
the circles of that.
Talk your way out of it. So I mean, that may be even something to build up to, but I would just tell this person, Gladys,
Queen.
That, you just do little by little, like just do little, tiny little assertiveness things. And then you'll feel like it's so empowering. Like you'll do one, you'll be like, ooh, that worked.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I stood my ground and she fucking went along with me. And like we went to that place and it was fun and it wasn't terrible. And like now I'm feeling powerful. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just like little small steps.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Okay. Why don't we take a quick break and come back with one more question.
And we are back. We are here with Rob Hubel, who is here to teach us how to stand our ground safely, effectively,
emotionally. Do you want to use that phrase?
Let's not give state of Florida a plug for their gun laws. We'll change that term to something
stand
else.
On our own 2 feet.
Yeah.
Step into our power.
Ooh, step into your power.
There it is.
That should have been a song in the Transformers movie.
That's a David Lee Roth song. Step into your power.
Yeah, like... Optimus Prime is fighting Megatron, and you hear David Lee Roth in the back doing that. Okay, this is another voicemail.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I really love your podcast, and my boyfriend and I have been to your live show, and we love it. You guys are super relatable and cute, and I think I relate more to Andy, and my boyfriend relates more to Naomi. But anyway, my question for you guys is about vaping. So I live with my boyfriend and, he likes to lie in bed and vape, and I've already talked to him about it, but I just would prefer if he vapes outside. And I was wondering what you guys think about this. Is there a compromise that we can come to, or, is there a better way for me to talk about this with him to understand it more from his side? Because in my mind, I just really want him to do it outside. But anyway, let me know what you guys think. Thanks. Bye.
I'm furious. I'm furious that someone has to even ask. Yeah. Like that is to me, come on.
Now, as a teetotaler,
why would I go outside to vape? I'm going to vape in bed when I'm comfortable.
What comes out when you vape? Does smoke and stuff come out?
Is it
smoking
smell.
A robot penis? What is the?
It is less of a than actual. It doesn't linger the way smoke lingers. But it is a thing that you would. And also, I'm talking about weed vaping, so I don't know what actual. Her boyfriend may have like one of those cartridges that blows at like a big handheld, like it looks like a hand grenade, you know, that blows out like a ton of smoke. You know, some people are into that, so I don't know what that is. But like weed vaping, from what I'm told, it only hangs around for like a few seconds or something like that, and then it kind of like you can vape. You can vape in like. You can sneak a weed vape in like a restaurant, you know.
Oh.
In a state where it's legal, so we don't worry about that. But in other states, you could like easily vape in a restaurant.
But they do have a smell to them, and it's different. Obviously, I'm coming at this. She didn't mention this, but like I have asthma, and so I'm very sensitive to like smokes and stuff.
Sure,
so when I have it around, like I can smell it, and it can kind of it will stay with me. I'm like, oh, they doing that in here. So I would feel that. I mean, she's not saying she has that problem, but again, if it's like if you laying in bed doing it, it's like. Yeah, you could if you do it every night or all the time, like the bedroom's gonna smell. Like you're gonna get that over time.
Go outside.
Yeah.
Go outside. It's not that hard to go outside.
Yeah, it's a little crazy to me that someone would like dig in their heels that deep about. I'm trying to think of like minor things.
I feel bad for you, Naomi, because this guy identifies more with you. He's a fan of yours.
This is what he's saying. And I would never. And I would never in a million years vape.
So you gotta lay it on him.
Tell him I said, take that vape outside.
That's
what's
easy.
Something that you do that I've asked you to not do?
Here we go. This is why I came to the show.
I'm trying to think. Because all I can think of is like from my a friend lent me a Nintendo Switch.
Oh,
and
the worst. Who would do that?
I was playing it. We were sitting on the couch. I was playing next to you, and you needed me to do something. And I was so in it.
I asked Andy the simplest fucking question. He's playing Nintendo Switch, and he's like, "What is it?" Like he was like so stressed out and like snapping.
I was in the middle of a boss battle.
Your impression of Andy is spot on. What is it?
It was just.
That's how you sound, bro.
And I was like, okay, I don't know what this energy is about, but I'm going to go over here. And it was like that.
It was off-putting.
Like,
and so I stopped. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to play this around Naomi. I'll save it. When Naomi goes to bed, that's when Andy pulls out his Nintendo Switch.
I'm going to vape and switch.
Oh, it doubles as a vape. So you play, and then you get to a certain level, and it unlocks flavors. But to me, that was like so easy. I'm just like, okay, so I don't do this.
But what does she do?
I know. That's what I'm trying to think. I mean, you usually tell me to not be a mess, but I don't know.
But
if
you still
if I listen.
But it's not to me that's not so bad. I just like
clothes near stuff,
and I just throw it on your side of the dresser. So that's not a big deal to me.
My wife does that. You know what I do? This is terrible. This is so passive aggressive with my wife in the room. Like she'll do this thing where we'll come back from a trip, and she'll just leave her suitcase like open and like just kind of leave it there for a while. And
I'm
so, like after a few days, I'm like, if she's in the room, I'll like take a picture of it and text it to her. She'll be like on her phone and get a text of the picture of the suitcase.
Why don't you just like fold it up and just put it on her side of the room?
So passive because it's we don't really have size. I mean, it's like.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's just sort of in the middle.
Andy side of, he's like very much like, this goes on your side and will literally just like bring me a pile of items.
Yeah.
And then just put them over. Like, because the way, they're going to stay on that in that pile. You haven't changed anything, but you've just, I'm like, the bedroom will continue.
The way our bedroom is, her side of the bed also happens to be where her side of the dressers are. So there is, I'm like, that's your side of the room.
Right.
And then this other part is my side of
the room. That's actually what our therapist, because this came up in our therapy, not the suitcase specifically, but somehow we were talking about like being messy and stuff. And our therapist was like, well, I will say, you know, she needs a place to be messy. Like she has to have like her, but so that will be like her space, you know, and then you can't tell her shit, you know, like that's going to be. And so that's when we stopped going to that therapist.
Look, Naomi's desk in the office I don't touch anything on there.
Filthy.
It's
well, filthy is a strong. As much
it's not
as
filthy. It's
still
clutter.
Has the boxes from when we moved in April.
Yeah.
My office box of items is just on top of the desk,
mm-hmm.
and I'm and, like, okay, we'll get to it. You hate this, don't you?
No. Well,
you're neat. You're like a neat. You're a neat tidy.
I'm not that. It's in spurts. Like I'll not be neat at all, and then I'll just have a freak out one day where I'll start like. Cleaning everything, and I'll be like, why isn't everyone cleaning like me right now on a Tuesday night at 11? You know, so I don't, there's no rhyme or reason to it, but I get it. I mean, I think everyone kind of does need a space to be messy, but it's hard to control that. Wait, how did we, but we haven't,
I know,
well, I was just like, trying to think of like, there's nothing that's not like super deep about me that if you were like, hey, don't do this, I wouldn't, that was like annoying to you, I would. Stop doing it. Unless there's like some deep like flaw in me that I can't.
I want to know from this person, has this come up before? Like,
well, it sounds like she's saying that she's asked him, you know, and she's like, should I be trying it a different way?
Oh, okay.
Right? I mean, should I try like seeing it from his side or something? And I'm like, no. Because I think, again, like the bedroom is shared. Like, I mean, the whole apartment is shared space, but like, the bedroom is like that is equal area, both of yours. And it's like, if you don't want it to smell like, you know, either fruit flavors or weed or, you know, whatever it is, I'm like, that's your right. And it's like, if you want to smoke so bad, you'll do it outside. You know what I mean?
How about this? How about if she takes a picture of him vaping and texts it to him? To me, that just feels like straight up 101, like offensiveness, like just like just like you have to give me that consideration,
mm-hmm.
like, and there's a way to say that where you're not, you don't sound like a weirdo or whatever, or too aggressive about it, but like I think it's just like, hey, this is our shared space, and like especially in bed, like, can just go, also go in the bathroom, like blow it out the window.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean? Open a window or something. But it is hard. I think sometimes something like this, I think at least sometimes, I know for me, I'll have this feeling, and maybe women have this, where to nag your male partner is to come off parental, mom-like, you know? And how do you tell your partner, hey, don't do this thing? How do you tell a guy to do it without seeming like nagging or like a shrew or like a, okay, mom, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so kind of that fine line between like, I'm asking you, this is the thing I need you to do. And then sometimes you got to repeat it, but not coming off in that kind of shrill way.
Yeah. I agree. But also that's annoying that like if a woman says that, then that's like you're being a bitch or you're being, you know, it's like this is just basic.
I know.
Yeah. Naomi also wears a mask of my mom.
That's true too.
Well, that's why.
That's
you're
really,
coming off like his
mom. I really want to, you know, I'll give you nightmares if possible. That's how I get my way when the night terrors come.
So how are you going to word this to this guy? This, okay, Andy, I'll be the guy. I'm just vaping in bed. Look at me.
Oh, hey, hon.
Sorry, I can't hear you. I'm vaping.
Could you put down the, could you turn off the.
Choo choo. I like to look like a steam train.
A conductor? Yeah. I know it's.
What were you gonna
cute.
Say? What's
it's,
up?
It's cute. I do think you're cute, honey. But you know, when you're vaping in bed, it really physically affects me. Like I don't like the smell of it. The smoke like, gets in my face. I don't. It's hard to be here, and this is our shared space. I was wondering if maybe we could find a compromise. You could smoke in the bathroom, or go outside if it's nice outside, and maybe have like a nice little night walk while you vape, and then. If
Sorry,
you don't.
I got to take my earbuds out. What were you saying? I was wearing my headphones the whole time. What was it?
Okay, this relationship is never going to work. But I think it's that. And I think it's like, you know, I don't think it's what you end a relationship over.
No.
However, I do think, you know, something that minor that isn't willing to be changed can be symptomatic.
Could be a bigger problem.
You know, we're not saying that now. Is this the one little area?
Yeah, this
or is this a person who in general is like, my way?
Yeah, this is an easy thing to fix.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't. My vape or the high vape?
There it is.
I don't know about that movie. I like Bubble Town and I like Endship. What was it?
Endship Season.
Endship Season. I don't think we're going to buy my vape or the high vape.
Rob.
But great pitch. Thank you for coming in.
I try. Look, we're out here in Hollywood. You gotta. Not only are you legally mandated to have a podcast, but you also must pitch 3 ideas every podcast.
I love it.
Otherwise, Mayor Garcetti comes and finds you.
He's gonna get you. Did we deal with any like hard emotional stuff here on with these questions?
I don't think so. I think just a lot of like, how do you deal with a friend or lover that is doing something I was going to say stupid, but that's annoying or,
sure. Yeah.
Or
you don't agree
hurtful.
With. Yeah.
Not showing you the consideration that you deserve. Yeah. And that, look at that. That is a common, very common thing.
Yeah. And like learning to speak to people in a way that like be respectful, but also be, you know.
Step into your power.
All right, Rob, thank you so much for coming and talking with us.
Thank you, guys.
So good to chat.
Thank you for having me. Now I want to talk about more emotional stuff.
Okay, keep rolling. We're getting gold.
Open your hearts, guys. I'm going to loosen my butt.
Hey, there it is.
Yeah, it's my life. we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Tom Colicchio. I'm a chef, a restaurateur, food advocate, and the host of the new podcast called Citizen Chef on iHeartRadio. People might turn on the news and see the stories about the pandemic, immigration policy, or healthcare. I see stories about food. On this podcast, we'll tour the current political climate, looking for inroads to food wherever we can find them. From the supply chain.
And we hear that Tyson might be closing another plant Monday in Tennessee. For
to labor.
Tomates en México, en donde todavía hay explotación.
Here's an executive order on immigration. We want Americans to have the jobs. We want Americans to have the health care. We want to take care of our citizens first.
And disaster relief.
Our systems cannot handle true disaster, this pandemic. That is the reality.
These are the stories of our food. Episode 1 of Citizen Chef is available now. Subscribe and listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Kimberly Drew. If I've learned anything in my years of studying and uplifting Black artists, it's that we all have the power to create something beautiful. That's why I'm pleased to introduce you to people who have broken down boundaries in fencing and helped to create the first ever smart store. They're a big deal, and it's time we give them our attention. Listen to Your Attention, Please, a Hulu podcast with iHeartRadio on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's inspired by Your Attention, Please, now streaming on Hulu. Watch for a fresh point of view on Black history.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.